Happy Friday, everybody. Hope today's show finds you well. Thank you so much for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. Today, Ricky and Scott join me, and we jump into some reviews. How about Disney's Enchantment, the new fireworks show over at the Magic Kingdom? We also give our reviews of seeing Harmonious at Epcot multiple times during our trip this past weekend. Scott talks about staying in a garden wing room over at Disney's Contemporary Resort, and we talk about all of the new updates to the common areas at this resort. And we also give our reviews of Steakhouse 71 dining at this new location that used to be in the wave spot there at the Contemporary Resort. We hope you enjoyed today's show. Don't forget today's episode always brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. Check them out for all your Disney trip planning needs over at themagicforless.com. Please also use our Amazon affiliate link anytime you shop online. That one extra click really does mean a lot to us. So please click through beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And finally, thank you to our patrons for allowing us to put this show out 3 to 4 times a week, each and every week, all around the world. It's all because of your support, and our patrons get a bonus show every week called Mike in the Midwest. If you'd like to support the show on Patreon, just visit patreon.com/beourguestpodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1978 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Friday to you. And this Friday, not as crazy as last Friday, but hey, can't always be celebrating 50 years of Walt Disney World. But hey, we are celebrating 50 years of Walt Disney World here for the next, I would guess, 22 or so months. And I want to talk about that here as we start today's show, but let's get the crew introduced so we can continue right along where we left off on Friday, where we were making our way from guest relations, from the Carousel of Progress. It's starting to get dark, and we're getting ready to watch the first ever viewing of Disney's Enchantment at the Magic Kingdom. Joining us, the woman who was not there. She was doing four parks in one day. She was running all over, catching Ubers, seeing beacons of light here, there, and everywhere. We have Ricky. Ricky, what's going on?
You know, I'm sad I'm not in Walt Disney World this weekend, but it's good to be here. So, I mean, you know, I had such a great time, and I'm still catching up on life. So it's nice to be home for a weekend, I have to admit. But I definitely still wish I was in Walt Disney World.
Yeah. I'm in Chicago this weekend.
Oh, well,
the Windy City, they call it.
Fun.
We'll see
you.
How that goes. I know. We'll see how that goes. Okay. Also joining us. Speaking, I'm closer to Scott. Not too close, but kind of close. He's up in the mitten there, and I'm in the Windy City. Hashtag Scotty G joining us. What's up, Scott? Happy Friday.
Hey, Mike. The only thing dividing us is a giant body of water called Lake Michigan,
which I'll be running right along, apparently, yeah. And hopefully they'll give me a little.
It's
nice
awesome.
Cooling.
Yeah, that would be awesome on Lakeshore Drive there, running along. That'd be sweet. But yeah. I mean, last Friday was awesome. Would love to be there hanging out with friends. But the way I look at it is like, I'll be back in about 3 weeks or one.
Yeah, I know. I'm back next weekend.
4 weeks. Be there in 4 weeks. Yeah.
I'm back next weekend.
By the way,
not a joke. I will be back next weekend.
Everybody gets training because Wine and Dine sneaking up super fast. I'm just saying.
Like, I really do the training for that sucker.
It was all about, like, they tweeted that Run Disney put that Instagram post out during, like, the 50th anniversary weekend. I know it was 30 days, like, from that. Dude, wait till everybody gets home. Like, don't do that while everybody's down there eating everything they can, having a good old time. Dude, don't kill the buzz. You know, like, everybody's having a good old time. Don't say, like, hey, guess what? In 30 days, the first race that Run Disney's had in, like, you know, 2 years. Easy, easy there, Run Disney.
I stepped on the scale after that Walt Disney trip over the 50th, and that was the happiest I've ever been.
Oh, my God, I do not.
That was a number I didn't even know existed.
Don't do that. Anyway, okay.
I don't know what I was thinking.
That was a bad. Okay, I was going to ask us real quick before we dive into kind of continuing the story, and kind of this one's going to be more reviews of some of the first time stuff we did. Let's give a tip. And I got an email from listener Scott, not Scott Gardner, listener Scott earlier today as we're recording, and he was asking, he's going to be in like Destin this week, and he wondered if it was worth it to go down to Walt Disney World for like a day because, you know, he saw the coverage of us, you know, that we did with the pictures and the videos and all the stuff on social media, and he's getting some FOMO, but he's going to be there for Wine and Dine. And he was asking me, like, is it worth driving 3 hours down, 3 hours back for one day so that I can be there for the 50th even earlier? And my answer was no. I was like, I think actually it might even be better come Wine and Dine because I don't think they're going to take away anything that's there right now. You know, like if you go down tomorrow, I don't think it's going to be much different than it will be, you know, the first weekend of November. Plus, you're going to have all these new experiences that are coming online. Like you can go see Yeehaw Bob at, you know, Riverside. Riverside will be open. You know, hopefully the boats will be running to Disney Springs. You know, the meet and greet, modified meet and greets will be back. You know, maybe you'll get some Indiana Jones, you know, live entertainment's coming back. You know, more and more of that stuff. So, I don't know. Did I make the right call, do you think, Ricky? I mean, is there anything he's going to be missing by not going this week? Wait until November? Wait in a month? As far as 50th?
I mean, I've done it.
Well, I know you've done it, but
I legit drove down like what 2 weeks ago for the Remy's Ratatouille Adventure annual pass holder preview. Even though I knew I was coming down for October 1st, I mean, it worked out because I didn't end up getting to ride it on October 2nd because I'm dumb. But I mean, you know, other than that, I mean, I was still glad that I still drove down for that, and you know, I mean, I've done it. So, I mean, I'm not the right person to talk to.
I would advise Scott not to. Like, enjoy Destin. I'm sure there's, like, another reason he's in Destin. Maybe, like a beach trip, you know, relaxation. And there's nothing relaxing about driving 6 hours round trip to, you know, do, like, a quick rip of the parks and then come back when you're going to be there in 4 weeks for Wine and Dine. So I would say enjoy the time in Destin is the route I would go.
I know that, you know, when we do these trip reports, everybody gets amped up and like you start, because I get the same way. Like you hear about this, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm going in January or I'm going in December and I got to get there now because I'm going to miss out. Just, you know, just take a deep breath. This is more than a year long celebration.
Yes.
You're going to get, you know, the golden statues are going to be there. You know, the iridescent merchandise will be there. These new parade floats with the iridescent characters will be there. This stuff's going to be there. You're going to get the cupcakes. You're going to have a great time. You're going to be in on the 50th celebration almost just as much as we were. We did a couple extra things that happened on the first, but the thing is that ship has sailed anyway. Like, you're not going to get the October 1st stuff back, period. And it wasn't that much more anyway. So, really, if you're going in the next year, you are going to have a spectacular time celebrating 50 years of Walt Disney World. Don't have any regrets. You're going to have a blast. So don't even sweat that. I'm just telling you. Okay, Scott, real quick, you had a tip for folks that I wanted to throw out there before we dive in. So go into that because we were talking about that at the end of Wednesday.
I can't remember what that tip was.
Was it about the photo pass maybe? You're talking about a little bit.
Oh, yes, that's right. So, yeah. So there's some new magic shots, too, with the 50th anniversary, which are really cool. So I'm not the one that likes to ask for the magic shot because I feel like it's almost like less magical that way. You know what I mean? But
I get that. Yeah.
But I would definitely ask for these, and I'm going to ask for them again if they don't offer it. But basically it's a 50th anniversary where they'll like kind of blur it out to make it iridescent. Like in the background, they'll put these like little colors at the top and bottom, kind of like a portrait mode kind of shot. I feel like with the iridescent background. But my favorite was they asked me and Elizabeth to like stick out our hand and kind of blow into our hand. And like, I don't know what's happening here. I hope it's cool. And then I open a photo pass later. I'm like, oh man, it was super cool. We're like blowing out confetti for the 50th, like a big celebration, like, yay. And it was one of my favorite photos of the trip, minus the photo bombing session of people covering their eyes while me and Elizabeth were kissing and Pam and Steve were kissing on Main Street. Those are fun, but it's an awesome magic shot. Highly recommend everyone ask for that one.
I had nobody to kiss in that picture, so.
But they put Tinkerbell in your hand.
They did. They gave me Tinkerbell, which I didn't. That is held. It was kind of boring. Yeah, I didn't have anybody to kiss. Anyway, my lady was back home. All right, Ricky.
By the way, I'm really glad that I wasn't in this picture and that they didn't think that we were a couple.
Same.
And that we should kiss. And I'm really glad that didn't.
What were we doing? We were doing something at some.
I was
point.
Not with you.
No, at some point though, you and I were doing something where. I was worried they would think we were a couple, and I made it clear right as
we were on the Skyliner.
Yes, because we were talking to two other couples.
Yes.
And we were right. And if we would have not made that clear from the get, that would have been a really weird story. That's right. Because we were riding with two other couples and we were talking about stuff. And if we would have not clarified that we were friends
and
podcasters and not a couple, that story would have been weird on like so many levels. So yes, that was it. I was like, we are friends before we tell the story. Yes.
Not together.
I do remember that. I remember preemptively having to clarify that. Okay. Do you have any tips though, real quick? And then let's jump back into where we were. Anything else that
yes,
you forgot?
Yes, we did. We definitely had to do that. Okay. So my tip is, I think I mentioned it, you know, obviously at the end of the last show, but, you know, don't, the only, I didn't see the Beacon of Magic show at the Magic Kingdom, but I assume it's probably part of the nighttime spectacular of Disney Enchantment. But the show that you should go see is the one on Spaceship Earth. You should absolutely make it a point to see the Beacon of Magic for Spaceship Earth. It is gorgeous. Pictures do not do it justice. It's just this, the colors and the lights are just so bright and vivid, and it's simply stunning. So you want to make sure that you are standing. I would honestly say make sure you're standing in that main entrance plaza to see the show. I mean, yes, you can see it in other places, but they do some special things with lighting and stuff like that on the monorail beams. So I would say definitely want to be in that main like entryway for the Beacon of Magic there. My other tip is if you're at Animal Kingdom and Hollywood Studios, you know, don't like make a point to see the Beacon of Magic, but if you catch it, it's all good.
So just since we're on that, just real quick, I mean, yeah, the flex is the, I mean, if you are any kind of an Epcot fan, especially like an old Epcot fan and yes. a Future World fan, you know, not the whole new, you know, creation or, you know, celebration. And discovery yes. and, you know, nature and all. If you're just like old 80s Epcot, because there's music that plays and it's a little bit longer than the other ones. This is a couple yes. of minutes long. The show, the Beacon of Light for Epcot. You do need to stand in the entry plaza. You need to step back. You got the new fountain with the Prism, yes. You know, logo. And it photographs beautifully. But again, like Ricky said, it doesn't even do it justice to what you see. And the thing is, especially while we were there, like the background loop is unique, but it feels like something you would have heard in Interventions back in the day. It fits the old Epcot feel. I mean, it gave me goosebumps. And then the monorails go by and the underlighting of the monorails now matches so cool. the color of the monorail. So when monorail green goes by, there's green LED lights that light up the beam as it goes by.
So cool.
Orange for the
That's
monorail.
My favorite part.
Oh my God. Well, we were joking. It reminds me of like a, you know, like 2002, like a Suzuki Samurai that was like lowered, you know, it was illegal to drive with those lights on, but I always wanted them. My dad wouldn't let me get them. He's like, dude, you'll get tickets all the time. I was like, but I want those on my car. You know, everybody wanted them. But yeah, I mean, it's probably something so simple, but I mean, it just, like when there's a monorail that's snaking by Spaceship Earth and you got these lights all over. And the thing is, you know, there's, I don't want to spoil it because, I mean, you've probably seen on social media, maybe you're staying away from it. But there's actually a nod to Illuminations, which Neil pointed out, which
yes,
I might not have seen otherwise during the Beacon of Magic on Spaceship Earth. But
yes.
I mean, it's stunning. And one of the things I said, I want to see this like from the plane if I have a night flight. Because, I mean, no kidding. Like, Spaceship Earth is so bright.
It is.
That you have to be able to see this on your takeoff. I mean, you.
Oh, yeah.
If you're, I mean. Well,
Beth and Elizabeth saw it from the Skyliner. They were like, because I was like, remember,
yes.
I felt bad. Like, because we separated, like, it was like a race. Who's going to get there first? The car or the bus kind of a thing. You know, we won on the bus. But they were like, oh, and I felt bad. Like, oh, man, like, I'm not seeing this. I'm seeing this without Elizabeth and Beth. And they were like, oh, no, we can see it from the Skyliner. It looks pretty awesome. So,
yeah.
There's so many angles you can see it from.
But if you're any kind of an Epcot fan, and I know, you know, maybe you don't make it. Because the thing is, very few of us make it to the very front of Epcot at night unless you're
right.
catching a bus because you're leaving. Like, right? I mean, most people end up in the back of Epcot because you're walking back to, you know, Yacht Beach, Boardwalk, or going on the Skyliner, what have you. But I'm telling you, this is worth going up there, have the camera, and get PhotoPass pictures because they have the
yes.
good cameras that can get night shots with, you know, they have the settings right. So use PhotoPass if you have it. So get it on your memory maker because they'll give you some great shots. So, okay, that's out of the way because we talked about because that's the one. If you're going to do the one at Cinderella Castle was pretty cool. But, I mean, Epcot, awesome. Okay.
Epcot.
So, yeah. Okay, let's get back to we're at Magic Kingdom where we left you off on Friday previously on the Be Our Guest podcast. We were stuffed from Crystal Palace.
Like,
we had gotten our
should
have
to be continued.
I should have. I know. Like, yeah, like in that old font, like on the like
yes,
on,
yes,
like on,
yes.
Yeah, you know, like on a Roseanne container. Or something. Yeah, exactly.
Scott was purchasing a pretzel and then he What got out his magic band and said declined. Tuned in.
That's right. Will Scott starve before we get to the next stand? No, so yeah, we did. That was what we were doing. We got snacks because we were worried we'd get hungry later. And the last thing you want to do at Walt Disney World, though, late at night, is not have a snack. I was not hungry. I was still stuffed. But Scott's like, dude, get a Mickey pretzel and some cheese and throw it in your backpack. And I did. And it paid off later because I had it in my room. So anyway, we get that. Now this, I'm getting antsy. I'll be honest. I love being early. Like, I'm an early bird. And people are waiting. People are already staked. People were just for the record, there was a couple that staked out their spot for enchantment at 10 o'clock that morning, right in front of the castle on a blanket. Now, it was blazing hot, and the concrete right there is like light concrete where it just reflects the sun. Oh, I don't even know if those people are still alive. Like, it was so hot.
Yeah, right?
I didn't check. Yeah. But anyway, so it was probably, what was it, about 7:30, Scott, like when we started meandering over?
I'd say that's about right.
Okay, so there's a group of what? Five of us? Six?
So we had, I think there were seven. We lost a couple members because they were going to get food and go see a friend.
Right.
We lost Florence, I believe.
Yes.
in all of this, yeah.
So the plan was, you know, at this point, like, you know, it's like 7:30 and the fireworks are like at 9, right? So we're just like, I know we're not getting a great spot. So I came up with a plan. I said, here's what we're going to do. We were at that pretzel cart in the hub that's kind of between Adventureland and Liberty Square. So I said, we'll walk towards Casey's. And where, you know, Main Street is there by Casey's, we'll make that right-hand turn and just walk down Main Street. And wherever we can find a spot where that'll hold, like, you know, our group, we're just going to stop and take that spot. No matter how, we'll probably have to go all the way back to the train station at this point. But you know what? It's kind of late. It's the first showing. We'll just make the best we can. We'll see it again in November, you know, later in this trip, whatever. And everybody's cool with that. You know, we're lucky. We get to go a lot. We're very laid back. So we get to that intersection there. You know, of course, the tons of cast members directing traffic, people carrying hot dogs and pretzels and ice cream. It's, you know, everybody's been there, right? That's like, the, you know, it's like Grand Central Station with food and strollers. And it's just an accident waiting to happen every 2 seconds. We get there, and this cast member is like, if you want to see the fireworks, walk toward the castle. And I said, I think turned to her, and I'm like, I just kind of looked at her. And she was going to say something. I'm like, no, just go, go. I just like said, go, don't overthink this, because at this point, you know, they put the tape out on both sides of Main Street USA. So the people are like, they're lined up and down Main Street USA from, you know, from the castle all the way back down Main Street. But they keep the middle part of Main Street empty. Right. At this point, what they were doing, dumb luck. I'm not kidding. This was total dumb luck that we happened to be there. This was the point where they decided to fill in the middle of Main Street and push everybody forward. So we got to just go right up to Main Street. And I mean, we were probably 20 yards behind the partner statue, dead in the middle of Main Street. Now, we had to stand there for probably 90 minutes, maybe, you know, hour and 45 minutes.
75 minutes, maybe.
But I mean, shoot, we had a great spot, man. We had a great spot. I mean, it was awesome. I mean, it was crazy. I mean, it was hot. People were tired, but I mean, it got a little rowdy there, but it was kind of a fun rowdy. You know, again, people don't like to be in crowds, but I mean, you knew that was how it was going to be on October 1st. So what did you think, Scott, as we were kind of building up to the fireworks show?
Yeah, I thought it was great. I mean, the hardest part for any of this, especially when you're crammed together, is it hurts to stand on your feet.
It hurts so much when you're not walking.
It's so different than walking, right?
Yes.
I'd rather walk for 75 minutes than stand for 75 minutes. So you got kind of stiff. And it got tight, so you couldn't even, like, move around. Unfortunately, there was a person behind me that was sitting down, so Elizabeth kept, like, pushing, like, making me not step back because I was going to step on this poor person. Eventually, they did have everyone stand up. But it was exciting, you know? Like, we're like, man, we're about to see history, you know? Like, I know they did the media showing the night before, but, like, man, we're going to be, like, the first, like, day guests to see this show. Like, we got a prime spot. Like, we're just getting pumped. The problem was we couldn't share that excitement with any of our friends outside the five of us, because you could not get any kind of internet signal at all. Mike's freaking out about a high school football game that's happening.
Right. I know, because it's like a back and forth, because the only way you couldn't get it, you could barely get a text message out. You couldn't do anything on social media. Actually, I was calling my wife, I think, at one point, because the only thing that was working was like the cell phone, like a phone call, because I was trying to get, because it was our high school homecoming game. We ended up losing, boo, first loss. But it was one of those things that we just enjoyed each other's company. So I want to get all this in. So I loved Harmonious, and I didn't know what to expect because I love
Disney Enchantment.
Enchantment, because that's what we. I had seen Harmonious the night before. We're going a little bit out of order here, but on October 1st, we saw Enchantment. I loved it. I mean, we had a great spot, though. I really think where you stand for enchantment matters a lot. And we had a great spot because we were dead onto the castle. Not a whole lot of spoilers, but I will say, again, it's a lot of those music. It's a medley of songs from popular, you know, very similar to Happily Ever After, a medley of popular Disney movie songs. But the projections, oh my gosh, like Happily Ever After really projected stuff on the castle well. This takes it to another level. I didn't see stuff on Main Street because, again, it was just a sea of humanity behind us. I mean, it was just nuts. Like, I kept looking back, but I didn't want to miss stuff on the castle. Spoiler alert, I think you probably know this. Tinkerbell is still in this new show. So that was cool.
What?
So I didn't want to miss that. Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry. She is in the new show, so you can sleep well tonight. Right, so I didn't want to miss that. I didn't know when she was coming out, so I was always like on edge. Like, you know, because like even in Happily Ever After, I knew she was in the show, and I always like was, did I miss her? And I was like, no, it's this part. But I thought it fit perfectly for the Magic Kingdom. I know it got some lukewarm reviews from folks, but I really did like it. I turned to Scott. I said, because there's a couple like pauses in the show after the first part. I'm like, dude, I like that part so far. And then I was like, oh, I still like it. So, and I liked it a lot. I mean, it was a good little show. So Scott, what was your thoughts on it?
Before I share my thoughts, there was something I have to share.
Okay, go ahead.
Ricky's going to love, and the guests that listen, the listeners are going to love this story. Cause we've talked about this leading up to the 50th. We've had so many like, what ifs, do you think this will happen? So we're sitting there for like 75 minutes or whatever. It's crammed, you know, we're jam packed. Mm-hmm. Beth starts talking to this couple, like these two girls behind us, and asked them like how their day was, you know, we're just making conversation.
Oh, yeah,
people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was the first visit they've ever made, and they had no idea that it was the 50th anniversary.
My gosh.
I forgot about that. Yes.
Like, because we always talked about like, is anyone going to be in there and not know what's happening, right?
Yep.
And I mean, they're like in the dead center of the Magic Kingdom, because we were like right in the middle of the hub.
But you want to know something? They bailed.
They did. They left.
They ended up bailing. They're like, we're too tired. We got to go.
Oh my gosh. That's crazy. Wow.
But yeah, I didn't. Wow. That was just so funny to me that we found the two people
that
showed up.
That
had no idea.
I
totally forgot about that. They're like, we're out of here, man. We can't.
They had a fun day, though, because like they were more focused on attractions,
right?
You know?
Which, oh, I'm sure. Yeah, they had a great day. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So they. I'm glad they had a good time, because that's always something that worries about me. Like, I just want people to always have a magical time, and I'm happy those two did.
Yeah.
But yeah, so going to the show, I thought it was a great show. I thought the projections were outstanding, as you said, Mike. The fireworks were great. I did keep turning around, because like, I just remember like Disneyland Forever had these great projections down Main Street at Disneyland, and I feel like that's what Enchantment's going to do. So I kept turning around to catch a glimpse of the projections. It was hard to do, because like, I kept turning around, my jaw would drop to see like how many people were behind.
I know,
this.
Right?
Yeah,
so
crazy.
I definitely want to see it like further back for sure. You talked about the music. That's where my disappointment is right now. And you know what? I feel like a lot of shows take multiple listens, multiple viewings to really appreciate what it is. So the music was a little flat for me. But you know, I'll see it more times and maybe it'll grow on me a little bit. But the one thing that really disappointed me, and I don't know if this was ever in the plans or what, but like I wanted some Walt. I wanted it to be more about Walt Disney World for being like a 50th show, especially on the 50th. I wanted it to be like a special tag.
Yeah, I get that. That I get 100%. Yeah.
So I thought there was going to be some kind of, you know, Epcot will have the blessing of size or like some kind of like little tidbit or something in there,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
It didn't, but. But that doesn't mean that the show is bad, because like I wanted that, right?
Right.
Like
right.
I want, and they want to build the show that's for all guests. And some people might be like, well, why is this man talking? Who's that? Who knows, right? Yeah. But overall, I thought it was a good show. I did see it the next night from the pool at the Contemporary, which was awesome as well. Like I didn't have the music or anything, but I got to see the fireworks. But the firework blasts are outstanding, and I can't wait to see it again. But I will say I had some slightly disappointing spots, but I'm looking forward to catching more viewings of it.
That's a good point. I think with these fireworks shows, which we're going to get into with Harmonious next, is that you got to give them time, I think, and multiple viewings. Because again, like I was bitter on Happily Ever After the first couple times I saw it. And I think it's because I had such a connection to Wishes.
And that was mine. And then I don't think I cared for this one so much because I started getting a connection.
It took Happily Ever After grew on me so strongly because my
it just helps when you
it.
Learn when you know the songs and what's like
right,
the breaks in the songs like kind of help. But there's one point like I was going do yeah, like I thought they were going to go into Hercules. Yeah. So I'm like, oh, yeah. Why aren't they doing that?
That's part where I started to cry. So yeah, because that's my marathon song. Yeah, totally. Okay, yeah. So I really liked it. Scott was okay. Okay, so Ricky, you haven't seen it from the park yet, so we'll withhold.
I saw it from the Skyliner a little bit. Okay, yeah.
So let's talk Harmonious. I saw it twice. Scott, you saw it twice.
I only saw it. I saw like. I don't know if it was like a soft preview or whatever. I saw it on the 30th, the day before the 1st. So I only saw it the one time.
Wasn't that the time I saw it with you from Japan?
Yep, I saw it from Japan. You saw it another night. You saw it on the 2nd.
Yeah, I saw it on the 2nd. Yeah, I saw it from Canada and Japan. Did you, Ricky, how many times? You saw it with me at Canada?
Twice.
So you saw it twice. Okay, so Ricky, you give us your thoughts first on Harmonious.
I actually don't mind Harmonious. I think that the idea behind it is very good. I like that it is celebrating Disney songs and the way that they impact culture around the world. So I really appreciated that aspect of the show. I enjoyed very much most of the songs that are in Harmonious. I think that it's done, that part is done very well. I like that they have different voices singing, so like in the Mulan section they're singing Chinese, in the section with Coco they're singing in Spanish and things like that. So I enjoyed that they took like the cultural aspect and really wove it into the different Disney songs to kind of make it flow. There are a few songs that I don't have a real connection to, that I felt like they really based a lot of Harmonious on a certain time period in Disney history in which I was not a Disney movie fan. So I feel like that late 90s, early 2000s part, I was, in high school at that time and I was not into, watching Disney movies. So, there's a really heavy Mulan section, which I don't have as much of a connection to because Mulan was not a movie that I really watched back then. There's a really heavy Hunchback of Notre Dame section, which again, I don't have like a super big connection to. Actually, I feel like there's maybe a touch too much Hunchback, in this film or in Harmonious. But with all that being said, I really did enjoy the show. I enjoyed a lot of the aspects of it. I thought the Coco scene, my favorite scenes were honestly the Coco scene, the scene with the Lion King. I thought that was fantastic. And I really, really love the Princess and the Frog scene. Princess and the Frog is one of my favorite Disney movies. It is so underrated. I love the music from that film. It is fantastic. So whenever like a Princess and the Frog song comes on, I'm like jamming out because I absolutely adore that film. So, I definitely think there were some good aspects of Harmonious. And then there are definitely a little bit slower parts, but I think that they're slower for me because I just don't have that connection to those films right now. Now, like you said, Scott, I think that as time goes on and I start to, watch Harmonious more and more, those parts will start connecting with me a little bit more too, because then I'll start getting the connection of those songs with that show. Right now my connection is with the songs that I know very well. So I really like Harmonious. I think that it's good. I didn't get like the best views of it, mostly because I'm short and because, I kind of rolled up, at the end of, getting ready to see the show. So like, I haven't figured out where the best spot is to watch Harmonious or where, and I definitely wasn't on the edge. So I had to peer over people's heads. But I like the show. I think it's really good overall. So
I will say on this one, if you can get is the dessert parties come back at Epcot or like a dining package where they have preferred viewing for the show, I think that's going to impact your enjoyment of the show greatly. Because if you have prime viewing of this show, I think that's going to help your enjoyment quite a bit. Because we saw it in Japan. I also saw it with Ricky. I saw it in Japan with Scott, with Ricky in Canada, kind of right there by the Canada, right by the cheddar cheese soup for the Food and Wine Festival.
Yes.
And not great views at either location.
I agree with that.
I couldn't really see a whole lot of what was going on the screens. And I will say, let me preface this because I don't want to sound negative because you guys know I'm pretty positive on things. And here's what I'm going to say about Harmonious is that I understand that Disney Imagineering and Disney Creative is not creating every show, every attraction, every race theme for Mike Rallman, right? I mean, I'm a 47-year-old guy. You know, I have a family, and I'm not going to be the demographic for everything. And I'm 100% fine with that, because I am a, like, my, you know, who I am is a very small, very, very teeny tiny subset of the Disney audience. This show, in my opinion, this is all my opinion, as all podcasts are, but I think a lot of people, I think sometimes we forget that podcasts are all just a bunch of opinions that aren't facts, which ours is definitely a bunch of opinions, so don't take any of this as fact. The thing is that this show was written and created for the, you know, the Disney Plus kind of, you know, a fan, you know, because that's a wide variety of movie fans and streaming fans. And it's, I think this is a show for kids. It's a kid's show, which is great, because Walt Disney World's a kid destination, because it's from these kid movies. And I'm not a movie fan. I thought it was very pretty. But I hate to say this, and I hope it grows on me over time, but 20 minutes was extremely long. Like, I was watching SportsCenter highlights. Like,
he was. I can vouch for that. He was standing behind me.
It was that long. And, you know, I think it, like, if I could see it at a, it, like, at a better perspective, that would definitely help. I would say the show's 20 minutes long. If they could cut it to 12, I think then we're making improvements, you know, and really tighten it down to, you
know,
and
I think they could do that if they maybe cut a little bit of the Mulan section and a little bit of the Hunchback section. I think those are the two slower sections of that show.
Yeah.
And I think if they broke those down a little bit more and pumped up and maybe pumped up the.
Well, because here's the thing. Let me finish. So if you cut it down to 12 minutes, you could have more intense pyros like throughout the show. Like, you don't have to slow the pyros down for 20 and kind of, you know, it's like running a marathon or a sprint, right? If you have a 12-minute show, it's going to be more of like a boom, 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 intense sprint with, you know, and everybody's going to be like, ah, you know, where 20 minutes for a nighttime spectacular, which I think Illuminations was about that time. But again, people complained about Illuminations, about that globe part, which was so slow. And I mean, I even got that. I'm the biggest Illuminations fan. Everybody checked their text messages while the globe was doing its thing. I know. I mean, I did it sometimes. True. I mean, and I loved Illuminations was the greatest. But the thing is, like, again, Scott said it right. Like, I got to see it from different perspectives. Where I saw it both places, not perfect. I had a tree in my way both times you know, partially obstructed. But it's just the music, that one totally missed on me. Like, one song I liked, and I did put it on my marathon running list, that one from Coco. That's pretty peppy. I like that song. That was a cool song. I had no idea what that was, but it was a great song. But it's a miss for me right now. Maybe it'll grow on me. But again, I'm not saying it's a miss for me is what I'm saying. But here's the thing. I'm not criticizing Disney at all for this show. It's okay for something to be a miss for Mike Rallman, because Disney doesn't have to do everything for Mike Rallman. There were kids dancing and cheering and Scottlight, you know, people, because after I didn't really love the show, and I wanted to because of the barges and because it's in the middle of Epcot, like, I wanted to just, like, oh God, I love this show. You know, I was dying to just, like, hug this show at the end. So all the time I've been, you can ask the ladies, I was riding the plane home on, you know, after the, on my flight home, what'd you guys think of Harmonious? What'd you think of Enchantment? Like, what did you compare them to what you saw before? That's what I've been asking everybody, even emailing people when I got home, just because I want feedback on what people think. And, you know, it's fine, because some people love it. Some people are kind of, I don't know, Scott. So final thoughts on Harmonious, and we'll move on to some other stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to go too much longer, because you two just gave in-depth reviews, but my short version is I like Harmonious a lot. I liked it better than Enchantment. So if I had to pick between the two, I'm picking Harmonious. It reminds me of World of Color a lot, and I love World of Color at Disney's California Adventures. It's World of Color with some pyro, basically.
Yeah, I get that.
I think, though, you hit on this too, Mike. You got to be a little bit closer. You got to be on the rail to see the screens, you know, and that's kind of like what World of Color is, with the fountains and all that. I love the music. I love the Hunchback scene. Mm-hmm. I love the Coco scenes. I love the start of it. Like, it started with Lion King, and it was like a sunrise. Like, it started kind of light and then it got darker. It was a really cool effect how it started, like, the show as a sunrise. I got goosebumps actually when I first saw that. Definitely want to see it some more from different perspectives. I thought it was great. But I miss Illuminations so much. Illuminations was the greatest show of all time. And I love the globe scene. I just love the original music that was behind Illuminations. And this was, it was original. I love the different languages and all that. It was more like a movie montage kind of thing that was going on, but it's going to grow on me some more. But out of the two, Harmonious is my winner of the nighttime shows.
Good.
What about you, Rick? So mine's Enchantment. What about you, Ricky? You got to pick one of the two.
I can't.
Oh, you haven't seen Enchantment yet.
I can only pick Harmonious.
So,
ask again later. That's what the Magic 8 Ball says.
So every spot around World Showcase, I don't think is a good spot, like Illuminations. I would say your better spots, I would guess Italy or Germany-ish, like on the rail, would probably be a great spot.
I agree with that.
I would try to get that if you can. Or obviously right there between the two port of entry stores as you go into World Showcase. But that's, you know, you got to stake out a lot of time there. You can't, you know, with Illuminations, you could roll up at 8:45 and you're really fine with the show. I don't, again, because you got projections. I mean, it's just kind of the cost. They have those, you know, those, what do they call them? Like the whales, you know, the big
tacos,
the big screens. I mean, and they're kind of, you know, situated where you can see at least one of them at almost every angle, no matter where you're sitting. But you want to kind of see like a, you know, like a stereo pair, you know, and some spots you'll see like the big center ring and then, well, like, you know, one on each side. That's probably what you want to see. I think as a human eye, I kind of want to see like that. So anyway, pretty show, and I think I could grow to love it. And I will say that I'm not saying I'm right or wrong, because it's just how you feel about a show. It hasn't grown on me yet. Mm-hmm. And my expectations for a nighttime spectacular at Epcot are just so high because of Illuminations. They're unrealistic. I get it. So don't give me hate mail. I'm going to give it a chance. And I'm not saying, and please don't take this the wrong way. When you go down on your next trip, this might be the thing you fall in love with. And I bet your kids are dancing to it and loving it. I bet you'll probably be dancing to it. And I might be dancing to it in November. I'm not being mean about this. I'm just saying some things take longer for Mike Rallman to like. I mean, some people like country music. Some people are, you know, I love country music, and some people, you know, are wrong because they don't like country music. So there you go.
Oh, don't even get me started.
Don't make me sing some Alabama, you know, from back in the day, you know.
Oh my gosh.
Hey, see that mountain over there? Yeah, one day I'm going to climb that there mountain. Okay, anyway, let's talk, because we're not going to get all these reviews in, but because we've talked Beacons of Light. Let's talk Steakhouse 71, because we might save Space 220 because Pam was there.
Yeah.
And she'll be back next week. Okay, so Steakhouse 71, real quick, used to be called The Wave.
Dead.
Back in the day, because I listened to 3028 with Kevin and Matt, used to be the Fiesta Fun Center back in the day. Yes, used to be the arcade at the Contemporary. Let me tell you how cool it was. They put out their show about the Contemporary this past weekend while Scott was staying at the Contemporary, and I got to hang out at the Contemporary because Scott was staying at the Contemporary, and we were eating at the Contemporary as well. Real quick, Scott, because we have a few extra minutes here, you stayed in the Garden Wing. And I swung by your room. I had never been in a room at the Contemporary. I've never stayed there. I've been there a million times for other things, never stayed in a room there. I loved your room. So quick, give a quick review of staying in the Garden Wing. What'd you think?
I thought it was great. So my check-in process was kind of a hassle. 45 minutes at the front desk, couldn't get Magic Bands to work. I requested the ground floor, and that's never guaranteed, right? When you put in a request, it's a request for a reason. Didn't get that. So my initial thought was like, I was like, I'm not getting anything I wanted, you know, like, which is silly on me. Like, and that's not normally how I roll. I was just kind of frustrated. Like, I really wanted that ground floor, whatever. So my initial thought was like, I dropped the bags. I'm like, yeah, the room looks fine, blah, 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 let's go. But then like later that night, I was like, wow, this room is actually like really cool. It's really spacious. It's huge. You think of like a Pop Century, like the bed, like almost is hitting like the TV dresser stand.
Yeah, it is.
Here, there's like so much space. We had seven people in that room comfortably at one point, just hanging out.
Not sleeping in the room.
Not sleeping. We weren't breaking any rules.
No, we're dropping our bags to go to dinner. Exactly.
Yeah. We're just hanging out. But in like the last day that I checked out, when I was taking a shower, like I was like examining the shower. Like the tile is like really cool in there too. Like something I didn't think about. Like, it's just super spacious. The sinks are a funny thing. So they got these like two flat sinks, but there's like no space in between. So like there's no storage to put like your brush or like your makeup bag or like your deodorant. Basically, we had to use like another sink for storage, which was kind of funny. It was funny because Pam and Steve were saying, oh yeah, we do the same thing. We put a towel on that other sink and it becomes like the storage sink. I thought it was great. Mike, you were going to talk about the desk too. I think you like the desk space.
Yeah, there was like a little working area there. I mean, there was a fireplace in your room, which was not really
the faux fireplace,
which was very 70s. I don't know. I love the feel of this room. And actually, I told you, I'm going to stay in one of these rooms. If I can catch a discount on this summer, because of the convenience of being next to the Magic Kingdom. I mean, I've never been in one of these. This room was kind of, I mean, it's definitely got an aesthetic to it. It's dark. Like, it's kind of a dark wood, but in it with that fake fireplace thing, and it's got these vases in there that are really random, but it's big and it's convenient. Again, it's very different. I want to try it.
It would be really great for your family, especially if you had Paige, because I think about...
It's got the sofa bed.
Yeah, and I think about even having Emily. Like, we're, like, on top of each other in a lot of rooms, but the space was so great where we wouldn't feel like we're on top of each other. And just... For those that haven't stayed there, like, you may have the same thought I did. Like, I thought the Garden Wing was, like, miles away almost, like at a huge moderate or something. Like, oh, my God, I'm so far away from the main tower. It's like a 2 to 3 minute walk to the main tower. It's not bad at all. And you know what you see on your walk? You see the monorail going into the main building. So, like, that there's so much value in that. So, I loved it. And I know that you kept talking about, like Matt's podcast, you know, they were talking about all this history and like, oh man, I just heard about the sandbar the other day. Like, this is so cool, like, to see all this history.
That morning I was running to hearing about all the history of the Contemporary. Then I was like hanging out with you, like, oh yeah, now I'm in the spiral pool. You know, we were hanging out back there at the quiet pool. And yeah, it was perfect. It was great. You know, again, it was a perfect weekend for it, right? Because we were celebrating. Like, that was an original. I was just geeking out the whole weekend because I'm like, I'm at the Contemporary. Like, this is nobody good.
What did you think about the lobby update to the Contemporary?
Oh, gorgeous.
Oh, my gosh. It's so perfect. The one weird thing we all said was that the Mary Blair picture that they put as a tribute to her is in the kids' area. Like, why is it in the kids' area? Why don't they put that
in the kids' area? It's probably because it's a small world. Yeah, down Dallas, maybe.
Okay, I didn't make that connection. Yeah, it's a small world. Yeah.
I liked that they had on the circular thing in the center that they had a five-legged goat. I thought that was awesome. That was such a great touch. Yeah.
I love that. So, me and Elizabeth were talking about that this morning, though, like, because we saw it so many times because we were staying there, but like, some of the furniture just felt weird. Like, there was like this eight-seated like dining room table
that is kind of weird,
and we're like, and Elizabeth's like, is this like a showroom, like a furniture showroom?
Yes!
like are you lobby? Allowed to sit are you
so
allowed
weird.
To sit here or not, you
so
know
weird.
Like
somebody like, should I totally the, somebody should totally like Uber Eats like a Kentucky Fried Chicken meal and sit down there.
Right,
perfect.
It was so some parts of it were confusing, like that some of the like the couch pillows were kind of weird, but like I love the color scheme. The photos behind the check-in desk are gorgeous. Like, I love, like, the old, like, the building of the Contemporary, which will kind of bleed, that kind of bleeds into Steakhouse 71, which is kind of cool. Like, a lot of those photos do. And it was brighter. I love the new light fixtures, but it's an A+. I will say, I saw some photos of Disney's Old Key West, Mike. Our resort had a lobby refurb that just opened up too. And man, does that lobby look so, so awesome.
Oh, I'm going to check that out. I didn't see that.
I thought that looked better than the Contemporary one personally, but we'll save that for another show.
Yes, we got to, because I'm going to be checking that out tonight while I'm eating my dinner. Yes. Okay, cool. I got to check that out. Okay. Give us about 10 minutes and we'll be talking about this for shows to come. Steakhouse 71 first impressions, we'll call this, because we don't want to make this show too long. So again, we had a couple of reservations, got them combined. We didn't get to sit together, but we sat across from each other because apparently, again, supply chain shortages. They didn't have enough chairs in the restaurant really to put like a big, big, long table together. So one of us had to sit in a booth, four of us. I sat there with Pam and Steve and Ricky and myself sat in a booth. Scott and some folks sat over at a table kind of across the path there, across the way. And so, you know, we kind of sat parallel to each other. And it was kind of fun because we ordered different stuff. Of course, Tim was our waiter. Awesome waiter. He's taken care of so many BR Guest podcast listeners over the years. I finally got to sit at his table. We met him in passing at a 4th of July meetup at Epcot years ago. But this was just great to interact with him. I told him, I asked him, is this really the old Fiesta Fun Center? He's like, oh yeah, the arcade games are here. And that's where the snack bar was. Like, oh my God, I can't believe it. I was geeking out. And he was telling us everything about, you know, the history of like the Wave and how they shut the restaurant down at the height of its popularity. But this is going to be even more popular. It was just awesome. And he's such a great guy. He's a cool guy.
So
shout
out
to Tim.
I love Tim.
I know. Yes.
Shout out to Tim.
Yeah. Be back right away.
Got to see him a couple times because I had breakfast too, as we talked about on Wednesday's show. So I got to see him a couple times, which is pretty neat.
So let's just dive into the food. So decor, it's just like an extension of the lobby with the kind of abstract, like murals, you know, kind of depicting. If you look at it hard enough, you can kind of see nods to the Magic Kingdom attractions, stuff like that. Tim swears he sees Spaceship Earth in the last panel. I couldn't see it, but if Tim's got a better eye than I do, he's in there.
Oh,
all the
I
time.
Could see it.
Could you see it? I couldn't see. I was trying to find it.
Yeah.
I see the colors. It was kind of purple and silver, like kind of like behind me.
No, I totally saw it. It was abstract.
Okay. See, I don't have an eye for art. I'm terrible at that. So I have to go back. That means I have to go back. I'm not saying it's not there. I'm just saying I'm not good at art. I'm from Missouri. Okay. So anyway.
I'm from Missouri 2 when I figured it out. Come on. That's not a good excuse.
You're more artsy. Okay. Anyway, so we get there and he gives us the menu and gives us, you know, the suggestions. Now at our table, he tells us, you know, all the suggestions and stuff. And he tells us, you know, one of the suggestions to get Salisbury steak. And I'm like, okay, we're there for lunch, by the way. I'm like, Salisbury steak, man. I haven't thought of Salisbury steak since I was like in fourth grade and it was on the lunch menu, you know, from like
TV dinners.
Christian school. Exactly. I'm like, Salisbury steak. He's like, trust me, dude, Salisbury steak. You want to get, I was like, I trust you. I'm good. Salisbury steak. He's also start off with a wedge salad. He's like, you will not regret it. He says it's like a blue cheese dressing. And I'm like, I don't even think I like blue cheese, but I trust you. And so I got that. And I got they also have for dessert that big, it's not quite as big, but it's that 15 layer cake you can get at Top of the World Lounge. If you've ever been there, it's huge. Chocolate cake piece, had that. Everything was amazing. So that's what I had. Amazing food. I mean, I would recommend all three of those things. Steve Forrester next to me had the Salisbury steak. I mean, we were just about licking our plates. It was that good. It was unreal. It was on a bed of mashed potatoes. So, Scott, what did you have and what were your thoughts on the dining there?
So I ordered two orders of onion rings for the table as an appetizer because I love onion rings.
Nicely done.
They were awesome. They were so awesome. And they were served like in this cool, like metal, like fry, like a fry box, like you'd get like at any fast food joint. But it was like metal and silver. Like it was, the presentation was so awesome. They're nice and crispy, well done. Really, really awesome onion rings. And I went with the classic cheeseburger. Classic, but there's like a pork belly in the on this nice cheeseburger as well. So yeah, you had the beef and the pork and like melted cheese just oozing out. Like it was quite awesome. I really enjoyed it. Elizabeth also had the Salisbury steak that you and Steve had, and she really liked it too. She kind of felt the same way, like, well, if this, going back to Wednesday show, if this is one of Walt's favorites, right, or like an OG like wave right menu item, like I gotta go with that. So our table was happy with what we had. I think we had like fish ordered and crab cakes too. Like we kind of spread it all around so we can sample different things, and it was really good.
Yeah, it's got a really good variety of food. And again, we were there at lunch. I didn't see the dinner menu, but I'm sure it's kind of similar. But I mean, everything. Well,
I think there's more steak. Yeah, it's more like a steakhouse.
Yeah.
And the prices were really good too. I mean, it wasn't super expensive. I mean, I thought it was very reasonable, and it's a good place to get out of the madness of the Magic Kingdom too. So I would, ADRs are hard to get. So get them now. Okay, Ricky, what did you
desserts? You talked about the cake. Yeah. Like that's obviously everyone's going to want like the 15 layer cake, yes. 15 floors of the contemporary. It's kind of cool. Like
that's
it's
why
like,
it's 15. Like, dude, I miss all.
You didn't know that?
I miss all these things. See, I was wondering why I was 15.
Yeah,
I miss
supposed
all
to be shaped
things
like a contemporary.
Okay, that makes sense now. God, I'm so dumb. Okay, go ahead.
Yep. Yeah, so that was really good, but Tim suggested like, hey, you gotta try this ambrosia dessert.
And yes,
he brought it out. It was really so kind of him to bring that out, and I'm just kind of looking at him like, I don't know if I'm gonna like this
same
thing,
I thought the same thing at the it's like, it's like avocado color, it's like the color,
it's kind
of
green looking.
Yeah,
totally
coconut.
Green.
Like, yes. But it was awesome. Yeah, it was so awesome. It was great for like a hot day or whatever. It's very true. Refreshing. I think your table did this too, but we ordered the creme brulee as well, which had like chocolate and vanilla like custard in it, which was very unique. All the desserts. I would actually rate the cake my least favorite, then creme brulee in the middle. Then my favorite actually was that ambrosia dessert. I never thought I'd say that.
Oh yeah, our spoons were like fighting for that. Everybody was like taking a polite, you know, scoop first to try it for the table, like the ambrosia, because we weren't sure about it. Once everybody had the first bite, it was like everybody was going back in to make sure they got their second, third.
Elizabeth was like mom, and she like cut it into four.
So smart, yeah. We just fighting don't for
it. Here it is, all that. Okay, Ricky, what did you get? Ned, thoughts on Steakhouse 71?
So I got the grilled cheese, which also had pork belly on it, and it was so yummy. Oh my gosh. It was a buttery bread. Oh, it was so, so good. Oh my goodness. If you like grilled cheese, this is a fantastic grilled cheese. And then I had waffle fries with it that come with like Parmesan on top. Oh, they were so good too. I know Tim was worried that I didn't eat all my fries. Just because I have a very small stomach,
okay.
And I was filling up on the grilled cheese.
That's okay,
and I knew exactly, and I knew I was gonna get dessert. So I was like, do I want to waste my stomach space on dessert or on the fries? And the fries were good, but I'd rather go for the dessert. So, but he brought me like his gigantic container of ranch. Basically, we talked about how much ranch there was to dip my fries in. It was the perfect accompaniment, though. So. the fries are really, they were waffle fries and they were really crispy. So I like that part about that. Good. That was really good. And I enjoyed the creme brulee too. I thought everything was great about my experience. You know, I loved the Wave before it closed. They brought back the bacon and eggs, which was an appetizer and usually what I eat as my main entree. But I decided to try something different just since, you know, it was the new Steakhouse 71. So I was like, let's try something different with the grilled cheese, which was fantastic too. So, I do love Steakhouse 71. I loved it when it was the Wave, and I will be going back lots and lots more. I can't wait to try breakfast. I may or may not have suggested they bring back the soup potato pancakes because I know they have pumpkin ones right now and they're like seasonal pancakes. But come on, the soup potato pancakes were what they were known for. So I hope that those become a staple again on the menu. Overall, I very much enjoyed, you know, Steakhouse 71, and I will absolutely be back. So, Tim, I'm sorry you're stuck with me. I enjoyed it a lot, so I'm coming back again.
And I'm going to try dinner in November. After wine. Mike, you'll be there too. I think we got an ADR for after that.
Oh my gosh.
After the half, I think we're going to do dinner.
Oh, so much steak for Mike Rollins.
I cannot wait. I will say, because I promised this to Tim, errors and omissions of the BR Guest podcast, I got to say this. I did mention at some point that there were peanut butter and jelly wings. Now, you could only get those at the lounge. You cannot order those in the dining room.
We did try.
You could only
they were not
get
delivered
those.
To our table.
I did not know that. So apparently, Tim had to tell the general manager of the restaurant that we had blown the ball about that and not mention that you could only get those at the lounge. And so people have apparently that listened to the show have
been
asking
for
the first couple days. You got to go to the lounge to get the PB&J wings, which
yes.
Do that because we didn't get a chance to because we were so
we
full.
Not.
We had all
we
these
so
extra desserts
full
and stuff.
We did not get to try them.
But
yeah,
just
yeah,
there,
yeah.
There you go, Tim. My bad. I promise that's it. And there it is. Okay. So we are running way long, but we have so much more to talk about, which we'll dive
into. Yeah, we didn't even talk about the new attraction we rode.
I know. We didn't talk about Ratatouille. We haven't talked about Space 220s. We got Epcot stuff to talk about. But we'll dive into that in the coming weeks, or the coming, actually, next week. So we got plenty to talk about. But, don't want to make the shows too long, so we're going to jump out here and let you have a great weekend. We'll be back again on Monday with the trip report, then Wednesday and Friday, of course. We'll kind of just jump into all this stuff that we got. Lots of stuff to talk about. But if you have any questions, like I said, about any of this stuff you're heading down, you want to know, you know, strategies or, you know, what you think you should do as far as dining and so forth, because things are changing and we got lots of thoughts. So just send a question to mike@brguestpodcast.com. We'll get that on the show right away. Don't forget today's show brought to you by The Magic for Less Travel. Check them out. We'd love to help you plan your next Disney vacation over at themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link when you shop online, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And thank you to our patrons who allow us to put these shows out 3 to 4 times every week. We couldn't do it without your support. And our patrons get a fifth show called Mike in the Midwest every Thursday. If you'd like to support the show on Patreon, just visit patreon.com/beourguestpodcast. Give us a follow on the social media. I'm at @brguestmike on Instagram and Twitter. You can follow Scott at @epscott, and you can follow Ricky at @rickynibs. Give us a follow on the social, or on Facebook and YouTube as well. You'll know we go live again. No live show this Sunday. I'll be coming home from Chicago, but we'll be doing a live call-in show 1 week from this Sunday. So put that on the calendar. We'll be taking your calls and having a good time with that. But until we get together again on Monday, you guys all have a fun weekend. So for Ricky and Scott, I'm Mike, saying stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.